Today we'll be in Philippians 3:17. We'll be talking about the right Christian example, and then we'll move on to the wrong Christian example. That'll be in Philippians 3:18. And I think we'll make it there. We'll see. Just never know. Before we get started, let's take a moment of silent prayer. For us, that means getting fellowship, confession, always to God the Father. And all that means for us is simply confess our sins to Him. And we are then cleansed from all unrighteousness and therefore able to grow, mature in the Word of God and also apply what we know. So let's go ahead and take care of that now. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for freedom. Thank you for our country, the United States of America. We pray for understanding today in our congregation as well as in our nation for truth. We know now is a time when we need it more than ever, and we just pray for people's positive volition. We pray for them to desire a relationship with your Son, to know Him, to grow in Him, and to conform to Him. We pray all these things and thank you for all the many blessings that you give us each and every day. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So Philippians 3, I'll start reading from verse 15. It says, "Let us therefore, as many as are mature, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained." So we actually got all the way through verse 15, which, if you remember, was about having the right, proper mental attitude. And we looked at what that meant. And part of that meant for us was that divine truth had to be a part of our thinking. In order for us to have a correct mental attitude, whether it be in, with people or with no people, the concept is still the same. You carry that mental attitude wherever you go. And if it's not based on the Word of God, it's not correct. And that's what we were trying to emphasize, is there is a correct divine mental attitude there. And the only way we can do that as believers, and I think we emphasized that enough last time, is to have exposure to that truth. If we want to be corrected, if we want to, if you remember our prior verses, to have God show us those corrections that we need in our lives, the only way we can do that is to expose ourselves to the Word of God. Otherwise, we don't know what to correct. We don't know what to tweak. We don't know what to turn. We don't know which direction in life to go. We just have to keep that consistent exposure there so we have, so you're tuned in to the plan of God and His will for your life. And that's really important. So you just didn't know God gave attitude adjustments, did you? He does, and He does a good job of it. And He doesn't warn you like parents do 10, 20 times. He lets you know. And then He will let you know again, but in a disciplined and loving way. And He progresses in that over time. But He is very graceful, and He is very patient with us, and He is very loving. And when you combine all those things, you wonder how we're still here, but we are, because He's that graceful and He loves us. So that's what we seek. Is we seek to have, to know, be in tune with that kind of attitude. And lo and behold, those tweaks that we make to our lives always come at the right time. I can't tell you, whether it be in personal study or here, I'll come across something, and I'm sure it's the same for you, and I'll just have an aha moment and say, well, wow, this is applicable for right now, this week, or, you know, it's funny how God does that, but He does. The Holy Spirit works those things out. So Needless to say, that's where we are. Then we got to verse 16, and that referred to living by a divine standard to which we have attained. If you remember, that had to do with maintaining your ground. Each and every one of you have come to a certain spot in your spiritual growth, a certain level. You've grown to that level, and Paul was saying, maintain that. Don't lose traction. He's saying, maintain. You've come this far. You've gone through the trials, the tribulations. You've applied the word in those times, and you've grown because of that. That's irreplaceable. That's irreplaceable. And we don't want to backtrack and lose those things that we were so reliant on God in. And that's critical. That's why you and I show up, is so we can rely on God, so we know what more He has to offer in the spiritual life to us. And when we lose that, we lose the fact that we do have Him at our every need and our every calling. When you lose that sense of knowing that, even though you do know it, there's a difference between knowing and knowing when it comes to truth. Because if you don't know it, understand it in your soul, you don't live by it. You can't live by it. And that's what the goal of the Bible is. It's a means of living, and it's a means of thinking. And we want to do both. We've got to have both of those together. And then we made ourselves, or made our way to verse 17. Yeah, 17. I was supposed to show you that. Okay. And it says, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. So you can remember this had to do with Paul leading by example. He's living the Christian way of life. He's firing on all cylinders, as we said. He's applying, he's thinking correctly, he's pressing on towards the goal. Remember, he's reaching. He's got, the word was skopos, which is where we get our word scope from. He's got his crosshairs set on the goal, the end goal, growing to ultimately maturity and beyond. And the realization of that is right there for Paul. He's to the top, and he's almost to the very top of the mountain. So, and part of this included, we got into a little bit of this last time, but part of it included being confident. When you first see this, you think, wow, well, Paul, he can really say that? Imitate me? He's a person. Right. But he also knows where his confidence is rooted in. He knows where his example is found. And he knows that he's simply an imitator of that example. So he's able to be confident for just that reason, no other reason at all. And that's where we get our confidence, is from our conformity to the mind of Christ. That's a confidence that's not in your own mind. It's not in our own abilities. It's in Christ. It's in the divine aspect. That's how we can be confident in the life that you live, in the decisions that you make, and then the direction that you're taking in life, just because of that. Because when you stay faithful in the Word, you realize how little part in this that you actually play. Yes, your part is critical. You have to be alive to be a part. You have to have a soul. You have to have positive volition. But look at the big picture. Where do we receive anything and everything related to truth, related to everything that we know that's good and happy and content in this life? It's from the Word of God. And that is, without a doubt, where we receive our confidence. And that's no doubt where Paul is receiving his confidence. And we left off with me saying that a life dedicated to Christ is a life of confidence. A life dedicated to Christ is a life of confidence. And some verses that bring that out is 2 Corinthians 1:12, which I wanted to to go over, because there's a few things in here that bring out this confident aspect of the Christian life. And it's personal. It says, "For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially towards you." So this isn't just talking about the believer. This is talking about others around you. A confidence that we have not just within ourselves, but we can have amongst others. So this is saying something that's important. The word for our proud confidence here is, it's caucasus. Caucasus is the word, and it's a noun. And it means the act of boasting, glorying, exaltation. And it can either be in a negative sense when it's from achievements from self, or it can be in a positive sense when you're boasting in God's grace. So there's a difference here. The verb form means holding one's head up high, and figuratively it means living with God-given confidence. This is what we're talking about. This is what Paul is confident in right here, this word. See where the little latch on gets to the spiritual aspect of this right here through this word? Right to the source. Not in Paul's example, not in my example, not in your example, although that's where it comes through, you and me. It comes through us, but not in us, not because of us. We're not the source of these things, of this example. So it's all sourced in God, in Christ who is living through us. So, and when that does become our confidence, it means that your reason to boast, or your reason to glory, your confidence is found in God, not in yourself. See, that's why people don't have any self-confidence, because it all relies on themselves. Whether they put up a facade of pride and it appears that they're very self-confident, guess what? It's all very temporary. It's not this kind of confidence we're talking about. This is on a different level. This isn't talking about just looking, appearing confident. This is in your soul. This is a confidence that you can go anywhere, be around any kind of people, and have this confidence right here. See how much easier it is, instead of relying on me or yourself to get through a situation? It's so much, it's peace. It really is peaceful knowing that you have that available to you, especially in the future, because the future is so unknown. How would you like to go through it with no confidence? That's not the life that God has designed. It is not the life that He's given us to live. We have confidence, nothing but confidence. So, and you know, that brings up another point, that as you grow and mature into a Christian, you all will set examples, whether it be a parent, mother, father, grandparent, brother, sister, mentor, teacher, you will be examples. Do you see? Examples. They're everywhere in life. And the root cause, the source of your example, is found through the Word of God, through God Himself. And we can't forget that. We can't forget that. Because that's how you can have so much confidence, is because you know that it's not me. There's nothing that I can bring to the table except flesh, blood. That's it. God is really the source of life itself. Not only physical life, but spiritual life as well. So we need to keep that in mind as we move forward, that who is the reason behind the season? Who's the example behind the example of each and every one of you? It's our ultimate example. That's who it is. It's God through Jesus Christ. So, we can't forget that. Without Christ, remember, there is no conforming to Him. There can be no example we can set without the mind of Christ. That is your example. That's how you set the bar. It's not by looking to human examples and saying, I like what they do, although there's nothing necessarily wrong with that in certain circumstances. But that's not your ultimate example, because those are humans. They're fallible. And as we'll see, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that if their example is sourced in the correct place, which is Scripture, like yours is. There's a difference. There's a big difference there. A lot of examples in this world. But the question becomes, what's the source? Is it themselves or is it Jesus Christ? Guarantee you most of them would say, not answer Jesus Christ. If you ask somebody, how are you such a great example? They'd give you an hour-long speech of what's great about them. That isn't what this is talking about. The reason why we are great, or why we are what we are, is because of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, the Word. That's it. I mean, there's nothing else that I can offer you. So, and on top of that, that's the only thing that God is pleased with. He's not pleased with me telling an hour or 2 hour speech about what good I can do. He's pleased when He is glorified. He's pleased when I talk about Him. He's pleased when I say, okay, yes, this happened, but it's because of Him. It's not because of what I did. It's because of the source. Glorification, remember, has two areas. It can either be self or it can be Christ. And that's it. There is no in-between there. There's no in-between. God is only pleased with Himself. And He is in you. He's in you. So take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. He provided it. He indwells you. And He just wants you to say, okay, He's here. He's with me. And He is why. He's my source. He's my purpose. He's the reason for everything. For every single thing that I have and that I can ever be in life. That's it. So, and you know, this can easily get forgotten. It can easily get forgotten, be forgotten, because of who we are. We're human. And once things start to go well, start to go good, you start to begin to set a good example, you start to get compliments, you start to slack off. Because we have something called self-righteousness that likes those kind of things. We like the accolades, the mentioning, he's setting the example. We like those things. And we tend to forget, our sin nature tends to forget where the source is, who the source is. This also has to do with humility, doesn't it? Has to do with humility. And that's why that constant exposure is, there's nothing like it. Because if I miss a week, I start to lose humility. That's the one of the first things that goes, is humility. So just by you exposing yourself to the Word of God, that gives us that edge on people. Because you can push the self-righteousness down, and you can remember the example. You can remember where it's from, why you're good at what you're good at, where it was given to you from, who the example really is. That's humility. That's what brings those concepts to mind. And it also brings to mind a simple concept of keeping an account of yourself. Holding yourself accountable as a Christian. That takes humility. It takes confession. It takes holding yourself accountable in everyday decisions in life. Everyday decisions. So setting the Christian example must always include divine power through the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, there is no power in the flesh. Can't be. Can't be had. There can be no example set in the power of the flesh. There are examples. in the power of the flesh. But see, it's not a real absolute example that we're talking about right now. It's not an example to in the divine aspect. It's not glorifying to God. Let me put it like that. It may be an example to you or me or a person, but isn't ignoring the spiritual life, and isn't ignoring Christ, isn't ignoring everything they know spiritual? Well, how can that be an example? Well, it can't be. It can be in the human sense because we don't see that necessarily, but I think you get the point there. You can set an example without having a spiritual life in a human sense. And that's not the kind of example that we're talking about. We're talking about the absolute example. That is glorifying to God, not self. So Paul is beyond confident in what God is capable of doing in his life. And also the lives of people that can be changed to imitate his example. So, if you need any self-confidence, and we all need self-confidence when we start to rely on ourselves, look where it's found. Right in the pages of Scripture, right here. You've got it at your fingertips. Confidence, like no one else has confidence, through the power of God Himself. I'd say that's pretty confident. And we have that available. We have that. So when you rely on God, you actually have the absolute confidence, the divine confidence that we're talking about. And part of that is knowing without a doubt that God will supply you with everything that you need. Everything that you need in life. There is confidence in that. There's confidence in knowing that not just the problems you're in now, but the problems that are coming up, He will provide every single thing for you to pass that test. He will. He says He will, and He's not a liar. Or else, what are we here for? We're here for a reason, because we have a God and we worship that God. So that's comforting. So, for our proud confidence is this. And then it says, the testimony, which means evidence or proof of our conscience. See, the word conscience here is a word, it's a compound word, and it consists of with or together, and then to know. So it's a joint knowing here. We're talking about a conscience, a joint knowing. And what is that referring to? It joins the moral and the spiritual aspects of your life in your conscience. That's joint knowing. Notice it's not just worldly. This is the spiritual aspect of your conscience. We're talking about a decision maker here. We're talking about how you discern, how you make decisions, how you think about things, what is right and what is wrong. When you don't have that spiritual aspect attached to that conscience, what do you have? You're just mimicking something maybe you grew up with, and you don't really know why you're making that decision. But when you have a conscience rooted in spirituality, in divine truth, you know for a fact what is right and what is wrong. There are no gray areas in the spiritual life. And when they are, we can take those to God. He knows. So this is the sole distinguishing between what is morally good and bad, prompting to do the former and shunning the latter. That's what this word is referring to. We can see these things, not because of something that we can do. It's because you're bouncing it off of divine truth. And when you can see the world from the lens of Scripture, your conscience makes different decisions based on that. Otherwise, it would not make those decisions. It can't make those decisions if it doesn't have the truth buckled in under that. So it's soul distinguishing between what is morally good and bad. So all this is a conscience bound to divine truth, which the logical result of that is what? Good decisions. Good decisions. That's what we all want to make. That's what this word is, good decisions. And that comes from your spiritual growth. And we have already been, think about what this is telling us. We're including truth into the way we operate, just as normal human beings. So we've seen confidence, and now we're seeing the ability to make good decisions, both based on truth, based on your spiritual growth, based on the Word of God. So this is something that's very important, and it's setting you free from yourself, because we know we've already been set free from the power of sin. When did that happen? At your salvation. You still sin, but the power of sin reigning over your life is removed. You've also been set free from eternal condemnation in the lake of fire at that moment, salvation. So there's a theme here. There's a theme. Without truth in the soul, the conscience cannot be freed from bad decisions. You can be free from bad decisions. I'm not saying you won't make them. I'm talking about the power of bad decisions over one's life. You have freedom over that, the power over that, but it has to be connected to truth. It's got to be. It has to be connected, tied in to truth. That's the power over bad decisions. Because now we're speaking about your consciousness, your conscience that makes decisions on behalf of your life, on how you live, how you go through this life. So since we're talking about freedom, this also includes bad decisions always limit freedom. And today is actually a day that we can remember freedom. We can remember these things about our country. And it's really what drove the independence of our country. On this day, July 4th of 1776. Remember, we consisted of 13 colonies at one time. But it wasn't just a bunch of people that didn't care about God. People left a country of England to come here because they wanted the Bible. They wanted to read it for themselves. They wanted to know the truth. They wanted to get away from tradition that was in England. That was the standard. And the covering of truth was there. And they wanted to break free of that. So they came here. All along the East Coast of the United States of America, 13 colonies, actually mostly the northern half, the six, were bounded to the Word of God. We're talking about pilgrims. We're talking about the Puritans. We're talking about separatists. People that stood for divine truth. Can you imagine standing for that much for divine truth and leaving your country to go seek it somewhere else? That's what they did. And that's what founded what our country was founded on. That right there. We are still seeing the benefits of that to this day. Good decisions based on the Word of God continue freedom, and we're still seeing that. They founded our country because they saw something wrong with Britain's rule over them. Remember, it was taxation without representation. They weren't getting representation over here. They were just being dictated to and ruled from England. So what did they do? They said, nope, we're not having it. We believe in the Bible, and we can see that's not right. See, good decisions mean freedom. Bad decisions mean a lack of or loss of freedom. And I just want to bring that out because our country was founded on good decisions because of the Word of God. That's what we were founded on. And as we lose that, guess what we lose? Freedom. So it shouldn't surprise you when you see these things. It shouldn't surprise you when you start to see loss of freedoms in your own personal life or in our country, because we don't have a bunch of people that just came over that are interested in the Bible. We don't have a bunch of people that are coming over that are separating themselves from the Catholic faith. Actually, we have just the opposite. We have people, a whole bunch of Catholics, flooding into the country. See what religion can do? And I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but what I'm saying is you will lose freedoms when you make decisions based off something that's not true. So they wanted to separate from that. And I'm very thankful for you, because many of you have seen those sides. You've seen that. Don't want to be there anymore. You've seen what they have to offer. You just want the truth and you want to make good decisions. So July 4th is a good day. It's a day to remember these things. So that was when we were established. And there was actually a war going on then that lasted from 1775 to 1783. And that was ended when the Treaty of Paris was signed. It ended the war between Great Britain and the U.S. Notice it wasn't really a revolution. It was a time that people saw something wrong. And they not only wanted to get away from it, but they wanted to sever it. They wanted to sever the ties of the tentacles of the Roman Catholic faith. They wanted to cut it. And they did. Of course, they didn't totally sever it. A lot of them brought some of that here too. And a lot of religion came with that. But there was also a lot of people that wanted just straight biblical teaching, biblical truth. There's a difference between religion back then and religion today. Back then, there was a lot of biblical teaching going on in all religions. There was a lot of solid doctrine being taught back then by preachers in fields that were teaching the Word of God. And they were preaching the Word. They were preaching the truth. They weren't giving you some message that was watered down. If you were in a field sweating, it was there, but you were there because you wanted to hear the Word of God. It was a different time then. It was just a different time. People wanted the Word. We don't have that today. You're not going to go sweat for the Word. Most people aren't. You're not going to go in the woods for the Word. They did. They fought for the Word. They died for the Word. They established this country for the Word of God, is what they did. So this consisted of people like this. They wanted to get back to the Bible in its purest sense and get away from tradition. That's what it was all about, to get away from the tradition. Listen to some of their convictions back then. Strong convictions in salvation being entirely because of Christ. They believed the Bible to be a guide for life. They believed the church should be structured based on the Bible. And they all had a generally healthy fear of God. We don't see that anymore, do we? No. And another thing about this time, this period of time, that population exploded over a couple hundred years. Went from about 2,000 people to a couple million people. So when you have a country that's based on those values, on those principles. And you all know, look back at your parents. Look back at your grandparents. See how it's becoming more pure and more pure and more pure till you get to this time? That's the kind of thing we were founded on. And it's going away. It's going away because we're not teaching our kids that. And we're letting it just go by the wayside. And guess what's going with it? Our freedom and our country. No surprise there, right? So I know that's hard for us to understand because that's all you know. This is all we know. We didn't fight for it. We didn't have Indians in your backyard that you had to fight. But guess what? You're here and you have it. And I'm just telling you that we need to appreciate it. Because it wasn't always free like you have it. Freedom isn't free. We always hear that, don't we? And that's the truth. It was bought. It was paid for. I mean, the Pilgrims lost about half their population in that first winter. They died. Because they weren't, first of all, they weren't prepared. And they were fighting. I mean, there was all kind of things going on. I mean, just going through some of this stuff just makes me want to just study that time. There's so much to learn from that time period. They struggled. They went through hardships. But they all had this theme. They wanted to prosper in the Word of God. And they did eventually. God honored that faith. And He saw them through. And here we are today. Remnants left over from their founding of our country. So without obedience to authority, there can be no lasting freedom. And that obedience starts with the Word of God. The Word of God. Psalm 119:45, and I will seek freedom, for I seek your truth or your doctrine, O God. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know these verses. You've heard them before. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing fast and do not become entangled again in the yoke of slavery. That verse is pertinent for our country today. Keep standing fast and do not become entangled again in the yoke of slavery. So one of the things about this that this brings up, we're talking about freedom. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about making good decisions based on that Word, based on the truth. This brings up the point that their freedom always carries responsibility with it. It always carries responsibility. Those things seem to have been removed in our country. We've got it, great. I'm here, let's go have fun. It carries responsibility with freedom. It has to. It has to be maintained. So it takes a responsible individual to maintain that. Freedom must be maintained. And remember where it's found. Remember where it's rooted. That takes maintenance. That takes maintenance. So the power that comes to us from the filling of the Holy Spirit, every believer has the freedom to be filled with the Spirit or the option of succumbing to the sin nature, as well as rejecting Bible teaching. There's your maintenance. That's it. We have the freedom. That's the beauty of this world that God gave us. We have the freedom to reject the love that God has for us or reject it. Reject it. They embraced it then, and we're starting to see some rejection of that. Obviously, if you love someone long enough and they don't love you back long enough, things tend to change. You can only stand that so much. When you keep seeing that over and over and over, imagine how God feels. He yearns for them. He loves them dearly, even though they reject Him. But eventually, He gets to the point where He's got to make a decision. Time's up. I don't know when our time is up, but boy, it sure seems like it's wanting to go that direction, doesn't it? So, freedom. Just as you are free to have the unique happiness that God has designed, you are also free to be miserable. Believe it or not, people choose that every day. Every day they choose to be miserable versus given the happiness that God gives them. Pretty crazy. Doesn't make sense. But this is Satan's world. It's powerful. It's powerful. You have to be positive to overcome it. So all these things is something we can remember on this day, July 4th. But in order for us to continue to make the right decisions that sustain freedom, it must be based on you. It must be based on you. God is preserving us for a reason. And it's because of people making right decisions because of the Word of God. It's because of people like you that are honoring their relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why He's preserving our country. I don't know how many of them are there, but I know that your role is a lot bigger than you think it is. Because the numbers of people like you are dwindling. You're the minority. Truth and freedom are of the past, believe it or not. We're not just running across the country or across the ocean to get here to seek truth and freedom anymore. There's probably millions of churches. This is a thing of the past. Let's just go establish a new church and a new religion. Maybe we'll add some more zing to it. That's where we're at pretty much. It's not about the word anymore. It's about making it something, hyping you up into something else so we can get you excited. That's where we're at. People didn't need a podium, a microphone, notes probably. They just taught the word and people wanted that. Guess what? We lost that. They didn't have this overhead right here. This is attention getting. Realize that? You don't need that. So, when you have a consciousness based on the falsehoods of the world that it feeds you, the natural result is bad decisions. Bad decisions. Hey, I'm not going to get any farther than this, by the way. I don't have any entertainment in me to give you. This is as far as I go, right here. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong. Oh, we got music. I love my music, too. That's important. And singing. We like singing. But you know what I mean. I'm not going to be doing cartwheels and bringing rattlesnakes up here, I guess you could say. I know some of y'all are waiting on that, but so we're talking about freedom still. All this to say that freedom is found in the soul and through good decisions from what's in your soul. And remember, the people that founded the United States made many of these good decisions, and we're just reaping the benefits. We're just reaping the benefits of those. That's it. So when we get back, we'll look at 2 Corinthians 1:12, and we'll look at what is the testimony of Paul's conscience. We hadn't even gotten through this verse in 2 Corinthians yet. Okay, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. Thank you for seeing the source of truth, the source of freedom in our country. Because when we forget, we lose it. We lose the ability to make good decisions for you, to glorify you, to preserve our freedom as a country. And we just pray that we can stay in tune with that, because we know that good decisions create opportunity and continued freedom. That's it, but your word. And each individual here carries that in their soul. And that all starts at salvation, at Jesus Christ. And you made that freely available to every single person on the earth. Freedom. You made it available. You provided it. You said, here, you're a slave to sin, but I'm giving you something to break the chains off. Jesus Christ. He came, He died for those sins. And you made that package available to us. He died, He was resurrected, and He lives so we can believe in that and be eternally saved for just that reason. By faith we are saved through Jesus Christ. Belief in Jesus Christ. By grace you are saved through faith. That is not of yourselves. It is a gift. It's a gift. Freedom is through a gift. Thank you so much for this gift. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.